Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through the second chapter of Acts, the first homily ever given by the first Pope, St. Peter. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them there and put them on whatever device you have to download them and listen to them at your leisure or sign up for our podcast. The whole theme this week, and I hope I might even take it up, you know, further next week, is to speak into the moment that we're living through in the church, and for each one of us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, for us to really discern what the Spirit is saying to the church, what's happening in our time. What's happening is we're undergoing a great purification. Where it's going to end is going to depend upon how our leaders respond to it, or when it's going to end. It's going to end. We're just not sure when, but what I do know is the Lord is disciplining his bride. He's disciplining his church. And he wants to bring about a great purification in the church so the church can reflect the glory of the Lord more, so the church can proclaim the message of the gospel with clarity. There's so much confusion in the preaching that's going on in the church in many ways, and compromised gospels, false teaching about the commandments, confusion about what it means to be saved. All kinds of things are happening, and it's coming about because we're in compromise, because leaders and others of us in the body of Christ are being seduced into and being enslaved to habit patterns of sin that darken the mind. When we start saying yes to sin, we start losing clarity. That's what happens. That's how the devil seduces us. He circles us like he did Jesus in the desert, trying to find a weakness. Where's your weakness? Where's my weakness? He certainly has done that in my life at times where I've fallen, where I give in to. We get tempted. We think there's some good there, but our conscience is saying no. Our flesh is saying yes. Yes, no, yes, no. And then we agree to pursue this false thing we're perceiving. We see some good there, but we know it's a lie. We say yes to it, and we give up dimension of freedom that we've been given by God in Christ to the enemy. He can't get at us. Remember Jesus said, the devil has no hold on me. Guess what? When you're baptized into Christ and Jesus cleanses you from the habit patterns of sin and we come into the light and we get real about it and the Lord leads us and we walk in him, in his church, in the sacraments, in the worship service, mission of the church, and we start to get to ever deeper levels of freedom, we come to the place where we're standing in Jesus and we're saying, devil has no hold on me. I mean, in principle, right from the beginning, in Christ, the devil has no hold on us. But if we give him room, or if we don't cut off these areas of access that we gave to him, we end in Christ. If we don't do that in the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, we end up becoming slaves. And what the devil's after is to lead us in positions of, in our families, our marriages, in our parishes, the church, whether we're leading or not, to destroy what God is building in all those realms where the flag of Jesus was planted. And he does it one heart at a time. And we're seeing how it's happening in the church. And where the Lord wants to bring us is back to the essence of who we are. And that's what we've been talking about. So I want to just pick up today. I was in the middle of Peter's proclamation on the day of Pentecost because we're seeing the essence of the church at work. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, He will return to the right hand of the Father. He will say, I will send the promise of my Father to you, and I will clothe you with the power of that promise, which is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to empower you by giving you a share of the life of my Father and our life together, which is the life of the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I'm going to give you a share in that life. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit can you go forward into what I've commanded you to do, right? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to go make disciples of all nations. That's it in a nutshell. That's what we've been empowered to do. That's what we're supposed to be focusing on centrally. So when we're not living that way, we're actually putting the Holy Spirit in the background. We're not paying attention. We're not walking in the Spirit. when we're not trying to seek and save the lost, when we're preaching compromised gospels, when we're not declaring to people the good news of the Lordship of Jesus, we're compromised. And the Holy Spirit won't anoint it. That's why a lot of the leadership in the church is not bearing fruit. It's not anointed in the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about what the Holy Spirit wants them to talk about. It's not leading in the way the Holy Spirit wants them to lead. It's that simple. And what we need to do is what Peter's going to tell all the Jewish people who were present on this Feast of Pentecost. Peter said we need to do it again and again and again. So what is Peter doing? He's proclaiming the mighty works of the Lord, number one. And that means he's talking about beginning here, for example, in verse 23 of chapter 2 of Acts. He says, this Jesus, you can't talk about the mighty works of God without the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Jesus. John Paul II told us, church in America, learn to speak the name of Jesus. Tell the world about Jesus. Not just about a generic church. Tell them first about Jesus. And then you can tell them about the church and the miracle that he's made called his church. This Jesus God delivered up. This Jesus lived according to the plan and foreknowledge of God. He was raised, he was crucified and killed at the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up and he loosed the pangs of death. You see what he did? He's the one who alone can deal with the sin problem, which produces the death problem. He's the only antidote. He's the only savior. He's the only one that can loose the pangs of death. And he does it from the inside for us because he comes to live in us. So the pangs of death that control us and that will attempt to control us when we die, the life of Jesus in us will not allow death to hold us down. That's just amazing. It's just, it's the gift. Nothing like it. He preaches more clearly about other things. He says, this Jesus, verse 32, this Jesus God raised up. And of that, we are all witnesses. You remember now, Jesus said to the apostles, you are witnesses to these things. So what are they witnessing to? They're witnessing to a person who died and rose again and who had the power of the kingdom of God in him and upon him and a capacity to communicate that eternal life to other people. They're not just talking about commandments. They're not just talking about Catholic philosophy. They're not just talking about religious ideas. They're talking about a person. Then verse 33 is the nugget. He said, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God. Where is this Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. Mary's son is at the right hand of God in glory, having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said he would receive the promise from the Father, the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this which you see and hear. This is the birth of the church. This is Christianity. Christianity is a new life in the Spirit. There's hope for the world because the Spirit of God has been poured out, and it's been poured out by the authority of the Son of God. Jesus said, all power and authority belong to me. He said, for David did not ascend into the heavens. He goes on to quote a few things. Then the people say to him, what should we do? What should we do now that Jesus is Lord in Christ? Oh, I missed my favorite verse, verse 36. Peter declares, this is the culmination of his preaching. He said, let all the house of Israel therefore know that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He's the Lord and he's the Christ. He is Jesus of Nazareth. We'll talk about what that means in just a second, but they say, what shall we do? And Peter makes it clear. Here's the fundamentals we all need to get back to. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens in baptism. This is what it means to be born again. Repent, change direction, acknowledge your sin, give your sin to Jesus. Let him save you. He's your Savior. He's come to save you, right? He died for your sins. He's the one that took away sin. So you need to be united to his cross. You need to embrace Jesus on the cross. Let him embrace you with all your wounds and all your sin and all your history, and let him take it away from you. Only he can put it to death. You have to let him do that. You have to die with him in it. And then be baptized. This is what happens in baptism. You're put to death. You're united to Jesus' cross. And we can do this again and again in confession. be united to the sacrifice of Jesus, and we're given the life of Jesus in baptism, this is when you become a child of God. You're born again, right? And all of this is done in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Moses, not in the name of Donald Trump, not in the name of anybody else. It's in the name of Jesus. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive. See, Peter says, if you repent, if you turn to Jesus, if you let him put to death all that separates you from God, if you let Jesus cleanse you, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be clothed with power. Then the power that raised Jesus from the dead will be given to you. And he said, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Peter goes on. And Luke goes on and says, all who believed were together and all things held all things in common. God began to build a community, right? Why? Around Peter's proclamation, around the apostles whom Jesus had built a community with. And then he empowered them to share his life. They were drawn to the life of Jesus. He communicated the life, his life to them. So they were an empowered community. They were empowered by the Spirit. And they were gathering around the King, around Jesus, who's the Lord of all. And they brought their lives in union with him. They aligned themselves with Jesus. Peter was so bold that day. He preached, he said, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. We need to take that message into ourselves right now, into our hearts. If there's a bishop listening who's in compromise, who's afraid of men, who doesn't want to stand up right now, listen to Peter's words to you, save yourself today. Save yourself today from this crooked generation who's trying to lead you into compromise your apostolic calling. If there's priests listening, you too, and deacons and lay people and religious and all of us need to hear this proclamation, be baptized. That is, repent and turn to your baptism. Say yes to it again. Live it radically and fully in the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only call yourself for a step into turning from this crooked generation, but turn yourself to God. And so what I want to really build on next week, friends, is this simple phrase, which was the proclamation of the early church. Jesus Christ is Lord. That sums it up. First, Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus' name means he saves. He saves because he died on a cross for us. He's the gift, the perfect gift to the Father. He's the sacrifice for our sins. As again, as St. Paul said, he died for our sins. He was raised for our justification. Through him, humanity now, the human race, one person at a time, can be united to his saving act and share in what belongs to him. If we acknowledge our sin, we repent, and we enter the waters of baptism. So Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Christ. He's the one anointed by the Holy Spirit. When he went to the right hand of the Father, we heard Peter preaching, he was given that full gift of the Holy Spirit to pour out. He wants to Christ us, to make us other Christs. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit, giving us a new life. And in the end, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and every knee is going to bend to him, and every tongue will confess that he alone is Lord of all. He's going to reign and is forever and establishing the Father's kingdom. The question is, are you in it? Get in it. And how you get in it is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, to have your sins forgiven, and to be baptized into him. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.